Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Watchmen here on the Omega Radio Network. Sorry about that. We're doing something actually brand new here today. We are beginning our journey on YouTube. And so hopefully to all of our listeners out there, we want to say hello to you in person, face to face. Now, that could be a scary thing if you think about it. Well, we're going to do the best we can, but anyways, that is, we have a new YouTube channel, and once we get through the testing phase of what we're doing, we'll make sure that we do this right. We have so much going on, it's not even funny today how much we have to talk about. And obviously, being Wednesday, our dear friend Daniel Second will be joining us in just a little bit here. So once again, we're working on getting the radio station, this Omega Radio Network, out into a larger format. And so we are going video, and we're going to continue on our YouTube channel with a brand new series of Watchmen broadcasts and videos. And so lots of testing going on. It's going to take probably a good week or so to get the kinks out and learn how to do it. But at least people will be able to view into where we are, what we do, and get to say hello face to face. And that's what we're looking forward to. And we believe this is going to be a good thing. And eventually we want all of our radio hosts on the Omega Radio Network to be able to go live on YouTube and stream and do all those wonderful things. So we'll see how it goes. And what I'd like to do right now, without further ado, is bring my dear friend and brother, Daniel Seckham, into the broadcast today, because there's not too much to talk about today, is there, Daniel?
It's a slow news week, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Hardly anything going on. I think the big news is there was two deer crossed the road and almost had to get jump over a car or something. My God, brother, how are you doing? Are you well?
Yeah, doing really well, doing well.
Well, we're glad to have you on the broadcast today. There is a lot of conversation. We spent quality time in the last couple of days talking about what just happened this week and, you know, thinking about, my God, what did happen in the last week in Jerusalem, around the world? Is there a provocation that we need to be aware of? And so we talked about it, but we are here to get your perspective on many things that are taking place. And so let's begin the dialogue. Daniel Seckham, Talk to us about what God is showing you about the events that have transpired recently.
Well, there's a lot been going on, and there's a lot as far as God's calendar is concerned that's going on at the moment. As you know, it's Israel's birthday. It's 70 years since the 14th of May 1948, in which the state of Israel was born. So that's a very, very significant time. And as without fail, the enemy reared its ugly head, which is interesting because it was the day after the 14th of May 1948 where the Arabs declared al-Nakba Day,
Mm-hmm.
And this is the day where they basically it's like a national outpouring of grief because they failed to wipe out the Jews. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
A national outpouring of grief because they failed to wipe out the Jews. They hoped to drive the Jews into the sea, but they failed in doing so, and so they are lamenting that they missed their opportunity in doing that. So it's very, very, well, and this is what they need to understand, which what al-Nakba Day is all about. Now, and what happened in Jerusalem, or just south of Jerusalem, southwest of Jerusalem at the Gaza border, the Hamas operatives, and they were all Hamas operatives, that stormed the fence, trying to breach the fence. And they tried to make out to the world media that it was a peaceful demonstration, but it was anything but a peaceful demonstration. They came down there fully armed. They came down with the full intent to breach the fence and to kidnap Israeli citizens. And what did the head of Hamas, of the Hamas demonstrations down there, say? Well, he said that he wanted to, as soon as he captured an Israeli citizen, he wanted to rip open their chest and pull out their heart. That's exactly what he said. Does that sound like a peaceful thing to do? Absolutely not. Okay. They have sworn to destroy Israel. They have just sworn to wipe out the Jews. If you just read the Hamas charter, you will see that there's nothing peaceful about that charter at all. They want to completely wipe out the Jews. And so they did everything that they can to breach that security fence, and over 50 of them were killed, which is what they hoped to do. In fact, it was Hamas that was offering cash incentives so that if you turned up, you'd get $100. And if you managed to get yourself wounded, I think it was about $1,000 or something like that. So, and of course, if you were martyred, it meant your whole family was provided for, you know. And so there's cash incentives involved for these Hamas operatives. So it's just incredible. And of course, the media, the international media, is basically assisting Hamas. They're aiding and abetting Hamas in their agenda, in trying to demonize Israel and make out that Israel is a bad guy. People are saying, how can you celebrate the opening of the American embassy? How can you possibly do such a thing considering that innocent lives are lost? And, of course, that's a lie. There was no innocent lives. They were all guilty. They were all trying to cause as much havoc as they possibly can. And that is typical Hamas fashion, to draw the media out and to try and spin the media as much as they possibly can. So that's what's been happening in a nutshell, and there is still, the dust still hasn't settled. And a lot of the international media is still trying to make out that Israel's the bad guy. That they, in fact, news.com.au, the Australian leading news outlet, said that Israel slaughtered 50 Palestinians. Just incredible. But if you just take a closer look and have a look at what they are actually doing, they are far from peaceful at all.
Okay, very good. That's where we're going to launch out from. What I would like to do, Daniel, is I have 7 points here that they're really talking points. I wrote these out yesterday. I don't normally do this, but I thought for our conversation we could go through each one of these and then as we go, just allow the Holy Spirit to guide our conversation. But I looked at this and I thought there's possibility here. And I want to absolutely say that before we make every statement, that it is possible. Okay, so we're not saying thus saith the Lord, even though I believe that there is something here for us to really consider. And yesterday we were talking about, you know, what was the real reason, you know, prophetically concerning this great celebration. I know for Israel turning 70, that was awesome. There's always room for celebration for birthday parties and anniversaries. But the idea of the U.S. Embassy coming into the United the U.S. Embassy going into Jerusalem, you know, I asked people, show me three verses in the Bible where, you know, that supports a Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And while nobody could actually do that, what we did recognize is that this is a step in the direction of a major Bible prophecy being fulfilled, which is the rebuilding of the temple. Because I believe the closer we get to this kind of activity, we're going to see something like that possibly. And so we continue down that dial. But let me begin with point number one here. Let's talk about this. I came to an understanding yesterday that neither Trump nor Benjamin Netanyahu, President Donald J. Trump, nor Benjamin Netanyahu are particularly evil people. And the current condition of both nations are not necessarily due to either of their presidencies. And we would basically agree with that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, somebody's calling in, and it looks like it's an important call. Let me find out what's going on. Hold on one second, Daniel. Good morning. Okay. Welcome to the broadcast. You called in, and you're on the line.
Yes, Pastor Daniel is not coming through on the in your conversation with him.
He's not. I'm hearing him loud and clear. I wonder if anybody else is having that same trouble.
I can hear you, but...
out. You're not hearing Daniel?
No. Well,
that's not good. Okay. Ken Wagner, I know you're listening out there. Can you hear Daniel? Can you just kind of buzz in real quick? Let me know if you could hear Daniel. Pastor Ken, are you there? Okay, let me talk to Pastor Ken real quick. Pastor Ken, can you hear Daniel?
Yes, I heard him loud and clear.
Okay. All right. So maybe George, yeah. Maybe you want to refresh and see what's going on there.
Okay.
All right,
try
George,
refreshing.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that insight. We appreciate it. All right, Pastor Ken, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that as well. And so we'll continue on down the path, Daniel. We agree that both of these men are not in and of themselves responsible for the condition of our country at this time. Or their own nation. And what I was referring to, Daniel, is the legislation and the policies that are there. I've got another call coming in from South Dakota. Let's make sure. Are we hearing loud and clear in South Dakota? Okay, it looks like we lost that call. So that's okay. They'll call back in. So my point, Daniel, to that particular comment is we know that in the United States, we know that in Israel, that there are legislative policies that are, you know, in the face of Yahweh God that are not consistent with his heartbeat. And so sometimes we have a tendency to, you know, say that these men are the problem. But really, we know that Trump inherited what's going on in our country right now. It was under Barack Obama that the homosexual legislation was passed, et cetera, et cetera. So having said that, Daniel, my question was this. And another possibility that Donald J. Trump, President Donald J. Trump, has been apprehended by God to quicken and accelerate end time Bible prophecy. He is provoking a sleeping reality that God is going to cause his word to prevail in the kingdom of men. And what I was referring to there is that it appears to me that this Eliakim anointing is on him. And you know, and I know who Eliakim was. He was the one that will open and no man could close. He had the key of David. He would close and no man would open. There was a special anointing on his life. And it appears that everything President Donald J. Trump puts his hand to do, he is successful. And while a lot of people think that it's about making America great again, and he may even believe that, But it appears to me that there's a divine apprehension to push forward Bible prophecy, especially like what we are witnessing right now, because the provocation in the Middle East with the decisions that are being made, pulling out of the Iran deal, which is good, bringing the U.S. embassy into Jerusalem, which is good. You know, these are all good in of themselves, but they are provocative to actually push us into the things that the Bible says will happen in the last days. Your thoughts at this point?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I really believe that God has been softening the heart of President Trump. In fact, just recently, Vice President Mike Pence revealed that President Trump routinely requests prayer at meetings. Isn't that wonderful to hear? It's just wonderful to hear. It says he says that there's prayer going on a regular basis at this White House, and it's one of the most meaningful things to me, whether it's public meetings or not. He says, I've lost count of the number of times that the president has nudged me or nudged another member of the cabinet and said, let's start this meeting with prayer, Pence said. Wow. Isn't that encouraging?
Well, it absolutely is. And again, forgive us for the technical issue here. I think I'm going to do something.
Keep reading. It says, Trump, as part of the celebration of the National Day of Prayer, signed an executive order that repeals the Obama administration rules that limited the ability of groups getting federal funds to preach to those they serve. The order also reinstituted the White House Office on Faith Issues, calling it the White House Faith and Opportunity Initiative, dropping the words community and neighborhood, which President Barack Obama added. The office was first added under George W. Bush. Pence told CBN that the executive order was signed to make sure all levels of the federal government are partnering with faith-based groups on various federal programs. So this is all really, really, really encouraging. And they're also taking steps to ensure that businesses, that Christian-based businesses, are not subjected to a witch hunt as they were under Barack Obama, as we saw with the HHS mandate, and as we also saw with the persecution by the IRS. So we're seeing a very, very different administration in the way that they've been protecting religious liberty, and that's very, very encouraging. There, Pastor Vincent. What I do might add, though, is that one thing at this critical moment in time is that all of the never-Trumpers and the ones that really were vehemently against the president really do need to understand that it's like Trump is the captain of an aeroplane and you're all on board, and you need to understand, if you're not praying for the captain to ensure that you have a safe flight, then you're all in trouble. Every single one of us needs to pray for the president. And I'm even saying this as an Australian. I'm saying this as an Australian because I understand the crucial role that America plays in the world. Because the reality is this, is that if America goes down, we all go down. And this is a very, very stark reality that we all need to face. And this is why we need to pray for the president on a regular basis. God help us if we don't, you know, so because the forces of darkness are out to destroy the president. And this is why we have such a thing as Trump hysteria. This is why so many leftist celebrities are doing what they can in their virtue signaling and their advocacy to try and bring the president down. This is why we still have a pro-counsel with Mueller's counsel investigation still ongoing. In fact, it's over a year and they haven't found anything. And it's now obvious, absolutely obvious, the whole intention of that of the council was a witch hunt. The entire purpose of Mueller's investigation was to try and bring down the president. And so we need to continue to pray for him. We need to pray for him, and we also need to pray for the members of his administration as well, because the members of his administration are under just as much as pressure as he himself is. So we need to pray for the chief of staff. We need to pray for John Bolton, the head of national security. We need to pray for Mike Pompeo, the new Secretary of State, because God is moving. God is doing some great things, and we're seeing some really, really encouraging things since he's been in office. In fact, the fact that North Korea has promised to disarm is very, very encouraging. However, they have just recently balked at that. So we need to pray that this initiative crosses the line, because there will be all sorts of troubles if they decide to pull out for some reason. So very, very encouraging signs going on. More and more U.S. companies are actually coming back to the mainland continental America. And as a result of these companies coming back to America, there's more jobs being offered, which is very, very encouraging. And we're looking at record low unemployment, which is very, very encouraging, and a record low black unemployment, which is absolutely excellent. And so President Trump has done more for the black community than Barack Obama has done. And think about that. President Trump has done more for the black community than even Barack Obama has done. And so that's there's lots and lots of things that we can really be thankful to God for. But we need to keep praying for him. We need to pray that the forces of darkness are pushed back, because there's still some crazy, crazy things going on at the moment. And we need to pray that the president is protected and that God's will be done in the United States of America. Hello? I can't hear you, Pastor Vincent. I can't hear you, Pastor Vincent. So there's a bit of other news that's been going on. One of the things that was very, very interesting to me was in the state legislature in California, where they were trying to introduce a bill that would replace the Lincoln or Washington's birthday with May Day celebration on the 1st of May, which is absolutely reprehensible. But California is going so far left that they have now forwarded this bill to replace the president's birthday with a May Day celebrations. And if you don't know what May Day is a well-known communist holiday where communist nations in the Soviet Union would celebrate the birth of Karl Marx. So, and this is what they're trying to introduce in California. And if you don't believe me, go to my website, culturewarresource.com, culturewarresource.com, and have a look for yourself. I'm pretty sure it's the first story. And click on the article and play video that's embedded there from the Facebook page of the California Republican legislator who's actually trying to defeat the bill. So it's incredible that all these kinds of things are actually happening in California. And we're seeing a lot. The fact that America is becoming less and less and less and less united. Less and less united. And that's a very important thing to understand. And we might remember the psalm where it says how beautiful it is when the brothers dwell together in unity. For that is where the Father commands the blessing. That is a very important verse when you understand that, how beautiful it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And because why? And that is where God commands the blessing. Why is America as blessed as it is? Well, there's a number of different reasons why America is so blessed. But one of the reasons is the fact that America is united. And when the because of that unity, the Father has commanded the blessing on the on this great nation of the United States. But what's been happening is that as America has been sliding further and further and further and further away from God, and further to the west, to the left, which is the basically the political outworking of that turning away from God, the more you're going to see disunity and lawlessness. Disunity and lawlessness go hand in hand. And you, many of you are watching this be happening before your eyes. This is why we have these sanctuary cities going on at the moment. And what these sanctuary cities are is where the city has trying to protect these illegal immigrants, you know, from coming into the countries, coming into the country. And so they are shielding them from prosecution, which is absolutely astounding. It's outlandish that this is going on. But this is all, this is what's happening in regard to many of these cities. And again, this is a principle that goes into, that is consistent with what the Bible says about cities. Because cities are a bastion of how would you say, the spirit of Babylon. The spirit of Babylon dwells in the cities. And you see this everywhere. You know, you go into the city and you see the melting pot of this monoculture with all cultures coming together, you know, and where there's this the humanist pagan spirit behind it, where and you see it in just about many different city, major cities all over the world. This is where all the leftists are. Every major city is like a bastion of leftism. It's like a strong man or a principality of leftism, of Marxism. And really, at its core, Marxism is a doctrine of hatred towards God. It's a doctrine of hatred towards God. And for example, let me just read to you just some of these things about this, because you'll just be really, really blown away at just how vehement communism is. And I'm just going to read a few little quotes to you from Karl Marx, who was the father of communism. And this is what he says. He says, communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality. And this is, and Karl Marx, he actually wrote to his father and he said, new gods will have to be installed. In his drama, Lenin, he writes this: the hellish vapors rise and fill the brain till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed. See this sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. For me beats the time and gives the signs. Ever more boldly I play the dance of death. In fact, wow. Marx loved to quote the words of Faust: everything in existence is worth being destroyed. Marx also said this. He wrote this poem. He says, if there is something which devours, I'll leap within it, though I bring the world to ruins, the world which balks between me and the abyss, I will smash to pieces with my enduring curses. He says, thus heaven I have forfeited. I know it full well. My soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell. That's astounding, isn't it?
Well, it's beyond measure. And Daniel, I'm pretty sure you can hear me now. I apologize for some of the disruption. I'm still working on some technical things, trusting that you can hear everything okay. You've done an outstanding job in presenting these ideas. And I want to make a connection with something that either I don't know, maybe it's a little bit overboard for some people, but I think it's something we need to talk about. We were referring to the points of retaliation, because this is something that I wanted to shift into from communism and Marx, which is at work here. There's no doubt about that. We're seeing that in the left, and we're going to continue to view that. But one of the concerns in my heart right now, and again, I want to put the word "if possible" before this. I'm not saying "thus saith the Lord," but my sense, what I'm discerning in my spirit, is that the retaliation from the Middle East is going to be the oil industry. The price of oil right now was bounced over to $71 a barrel, you know, which is really a growing gas price again. And I, again, believe that oil, the price for a barrel of oil is going to soar to over $200 per barrel. And I ultimately believe that the OPEC agreement is going to come to an end. And again, this is the provocation, because this isn't just against the Palestinians. This isn't just against Hamas. This is touching Iran and Turkey and other major Middle Eastern countries around the world. And I believe that maybe not as much nuclear bombs and terrorism, which I do believe are going to be released at some point, because there's always that front. But I believe the thing that would really impact nations right now that are alongside the United States for these provocative moves, can you imagine $200 per barrel of oil, which would send gas prices well over $12 to $15 a gallon? And that, I believe, would force what I believe President Donald J. Trump actually wants to do, is to get out of the OPEC agreement, and then I believe that America will open its own oil reserves at some point, so that the Make America Great campaign or an independent America would become more of a reality. And I also believe, just running through this, that a transfer of wealth is going to come into the United States through particular investments that will wipe out the debt with China and other foreign nations, which I do believe, again, is in the best interest of the campaign promises that have been made. So what I'm seeing is a man that has been apprehended by God. To what degree he understands that, I don't know, but it appears that everything he does is prospering, the Eliakim anointing again, and I believe that things are moving in the direction that ultimately it's leading towards what we have always talked about, the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, not just making America great again. So this is something way beyond himself, and yet it is literally being compelled in the direction that we are talking about. I also believe that there will be a global raging storm that will come against both the U.S. and Israel, and both nations will suffer great loss, but a stump shall remain. And World War III will lead the nations of the earth into the great tribulation, as Antichrist and all his forces shall manifest in a final declaration of war against God and everything that is associated with him in truth. So, Daniel, these are some of the talking points I wanted to get through today, but what are your thoughts about the response or retaliation of the Middle Eastern nations that are being extremely offended and provoked by decisions that are being made, ultimately leading to the rebuilding of a temple, I believe, in Jerusalem? Do you see oil as a major stumbling block for people that don't have lots of money in this country?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, oil is the currency in the Middle East, and it's funny because it's a bit of a play on words, but in some respects, the Middle East has America over a barrel. You know, and this is why I think it's a great thing for America to develop their own oil reserves to enable them to be independent, so they won't be held over a barrel. So this is why Saudi Arabia is diversifying as much as they possibly can, because they're running out of their oil reserves, and so they're looking at other ways in which they can make income. Because they know that in the future they're not going to have, they're going to have to look at other avenues as their oil reserves are running out. So, yeah, you know, there could be that. Here in Australia, we're actually running out of our oil, big time. In fact, we could very well be, our reserves could be run out within the next couple of months. that gives you a bit of an idea how serious it is here in Australia.
And where would you get your gas from at that point?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, we've already got drilling going on in the Great Australian Bight, which is the area directly underneath south of Australia. So we've got oil drilling going on there, but whether that will be able to sustain us within the next couple of months, I mean, who knows? But if you want to Google that, just simply Google Australia oil reserves, and you'll see how low that we're running at the moment. It's really concerning. But yes, I mean, oil, I think, will become more and more scarce. I think a lot of the resources will become more and more scarce. In fact, a lot of the chief commodities will become more and more of a luxury. And what's going to happen is that corporations and governments will control more and more and more of the key commodities and key produce and food and you name it, and more the governments, and not just governments, but corporations that are driven by leftism will be gaining more and more control over these things. And this is what we've seen happening in America with the big tech companies. The big tech companies are becoming tyrannical. They are becoming tyrannical. Because they no longer, you know, they don't have the competition that they once have. So, and as they're growing in power, they're becoming more corrupt, and they're controlling more of the resources. So this is a trend, and this is a trajectory that we need to watch out for, because the big companies, as well as NGOs and governments, will be controlling more and more and more things. And it will get to the point... And you can see where all this is heading. You can just see exactly where it's all heading. The fact is that it will come to a point where the government will say, you play by our rules, you do as we say, and because if you don't, then you will starve. You will not eat. And so this is the direction where we're all heading at the moment.
Absolutely true. And, you know, you think about a vulnerability of living in a nation where a government has risen to such power. Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States, you know, I was out with someone yesterday, and they mentioned to me that, boy, isn't it a shame that the most corrupt man on the earth is leading the nation from the White House. And I looked at this gentleman and I said, was he more corrupt than Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? And then the blush came, of course, and, you know, that was not the case. And, you know, you try to let people know that, you know, if you're a billionaire living in this world and you're not born again and you really don't have, you know, the stride or the faith in Christ, of course you're going to do things that are, you know, pleasing to the flesh. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory, which is not an excuse. But we're talking about a man who has given his heart to the Christian ethic, the Christian reality within this nation. Who knows if he's gotten born again or not? We're going to tell. You know, time will tell. But, you know, his stuff is being brought out for the eyes of the world to see, with all this stuff with the never Trump, the hate Trump. You know, they want to impeach him. They want to kill him. They want to do all these different things. But there's something greater than all of their opposition that is allowing him to do certain things. So I believe, again, we are just moments away. And I remember during his campaign, Daniel, where he was actually saying, you know, we have oil reserves that would last for 200 years. Now, that would be a fight against the EPA, of course, the Environmental Protection Agency, which is always a real fun battle, right, politically speaking. But if need be, those oil reserves will open. It will produce even more work within this nation. And the steps toward a sovereign, independent nation that will fight – alongside of Israel. I mean, we're taking this tact right now in this scenario. And then, of course, you have the United Nations and the rest of the world that would want to lead this war against Israel in the United States, probably headed by Barack Hussein Obama, the new General Secretary of the United Nations, which is his bid. And only God knows how far this goes, but many, many forces operating in the world today to destroy everything we read in our scripture knows and tells us that the destruction is against God, his son, Jesus Christ, and against those who possess that wisdom, knowledge, and have Christ in their hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the I mean, if you were to look at the number one agenda of the devil in the last days, the number one agenda, what is the number one agenda? Well, the number one agenda is to destroy the apple of God's eye. That's the nation of Israel, his people. Satan knows that. And you can see that, you know, you can see the priority and how that works out. I mean, and this is the thing that was amazing to me. There was a gay pride rally held. I'm just trying to remember where it was. I think it might have been in Canada. And what happened was is that the organizers of the gay pride rally kicked out Israeli marchers. They said, you're not allowed to march with us because you're causing an offense. Basically booted out the Jews and told them they're not allowed to be a part of it. So that gives you a bit of an insight. If it came to favoring homosexuality, if it came between favoring Islam or favoring homosexuality, he will favor Islam because it's through Islam that is the instrument that will be used to destroy Israel. You know, and so this is where you see the devil's priorities. The devil's priorities is to destroy Israel over and above spreading the homosexual agenda. So because he wants to destroy the apple of God's eye.
Absolutely. And so we go back to this talking point number six, a global raging storm will come against both the U.S. and Israel. And the reason why is because God does not wink at our sins. He holds us more accountable for the things that we know. Both Israel understands Torah, and this country, a Christian nation, understands the gospel, and we are a Judeo-Christian nation, regardless of what Barack Hussein Obama, an antichrist, actually said. We are that, and we know better. So we're not excused because Barack Hussein tells us that we're not that anymore. Well, we are. We are a covenanted nation, and Israel was a covenanted people. And so we are going to feel the pangs of this global rage, this storm against our nations, and yet a stump will remain. We've got to understand these things and prepare for these things because it is very late in the hour. And, Daniel, I want to go back to something you said a moment ago about a man who sold his soul to the devil. Does not a man like this represent an entire satanic priesthood who are laboring to bring forth the Luciferian dream in this country and around the world, and actually setting the stage for the coming of Antichrist?
Well, yeah. I mean, the person who had actually sold his soul to the devil was Karl Marx. He was the one who actually had said that. What's even more worrying was what his best friend Friedrich Engels actually said about Marx. Friedrich Engels said this. He said, Karl Marx is a monster possessed by 10,000 devils. That's what his best friend said about him. He said, Karl Marx is a monster possessed by 10,000 devils. Karl Marx wrote that he did not love anyone and that he was entirely comfortable with hatred. There you go.
That is huge.
And this is,
man, that
it's
that,
huge, isn't it? Yeah.
10,000 devils, that's like five legions.
Yeah.
And do you know what?
Yeah.
Through his ideology, I would have to agree, because it was within that vein that over 50 million Russian Orthodox Christians and others were killed in the Bolshevik Revolution. Is that correct?
Correct, correct. And I'm glad you said Bolshevik Revolution, because it's certainly not the Russian Revolution. It was the Bolsheviks that carried out this murderous revolution. And what you don't hear about is what they did to the Ukrainian people. I mean, Ukraine was the breadbasket of Eastern Europe. You know, this is what Eastern Europe all depended upon the farmers from the Ukraine. But what happened was is that they pillaged all of the successful farmers working within the Ukraine. And what they basically said to some of the people, they said to the people, you know, those guys down the road who do so much better than you and they're much more successful than you, well, guess what? You can have your revenge because they are privileged. They have all this privilege and you don't. So you get to take advantage of them. And that's exactly what they did. They gave these people weapons and they went and they basically killed all the successful farmers because they accused them of having privilege and because they were more successful than they were. It was all based upon envy and revenge against them because they were more successful than them. And what happened as a result? Were millions starved. Millions starved as a result of that, you know. And this is not being taught in our high schools because they are teaching white privilege. They are teaching, even some universities are even teaching Christian privilege and Jew privilege, that if you are blessed, and this is what we understand, you know, because this is what the devil accuses us, because the devil hates, he tries to fill people with envy and jealousy and rage towards those who are doing better. So when someone who's full of this demonic spirit, who actually sees someone who's prospering and doing well, they are full of nothing but demonic rage and they want to bring them down. And this is why it's so important to understand about social justice. Social justice is a lie because there is no justice in the hearts of these people. They don't want justice. What they want is revenge. They want revenge. The same revenge that was in the hearts of the mobs that ravaged the Ukraine and brought about the horrible starvation in which millions died, that same spirit is within the hearts of the social justice warriors on every college campuses across America. So this is what we're facing at the moment, and this is the spirit behind Marxism. It's an incredibly demonic spirit that's based on atheism. It's absolutely 100% based on atheism. And I'll just read you this. This is what Frederick Engels also said. Frederick Engels was the guy. He was Marx's best friend, but he says this. He said, if some few passages of the Bible may be favorable towards communism, the general spirit of its doctrines is nevertheless totally opposed to it. Now, Robert Paine, a friend of Karl Marx, wrote that Karl Marx had the devil's view of the world and the devil's malignity. Sometimes he seemed to know that he was accomplishing the works of evil. Karl Marx wrote that he wanted to hurl gigantic curses on mankind. Marx quoted positively from Paris Communard Florence, who declared, "Our enemy is God. Hatred of God is the beginning of wisdom."
Again, absolutely amazing. We're talking about the Ukrainian revolution, the Ukrainian persecution that went back, Daniel, many, many years ago. I'd say probably 12 or 15 years ago. I dedicated an entire Sunday service to the reality of what happened during the Ukrainian persecution. And like the Jews that were in Nazi Germany when Adolf Hitler was rising to power, there were prophetic voices that were telling people, you need to take heed to what's going on in your country, and you need to get out. And some people took heed. They sold everything they had. They invested in diamonds. They sewed it into their clothes. They got on boats or planes, and they fled in plenty of time to go out and start a brand new life. Others waited to the last moment and wound up fleeing with hardly anything. And the rest, you know what happened. We have over 6 million murdered Jewish people because they did not take heed or they delayed in what God was trying to do. But in the Ukrainian revolution, when the Ukrainians were being persecuted, they had the same prophetic voice coming to them, telling them, warning them of what was coming into their country. Some of them left, and they were known to actually dig out little caves in the side of mountains or hills where they would live for periods of time. Then they would get the reports of those that refused to leave, how the mothers were eating their children. This is all historical. This data could be found everywhere.
Yeah.
Of the persecution, the rape, the torture, the murder the famine, the pestilence, the disease that those people had to endure and go through, and the ones that did escape wept over the fate of their brothers and sisters. And so, you know, we happen to be living in a time right now where God has been speaking to a nation. He's been warning our nation, I believe, for a very long time against our licentious lifestyles and our offensive behavior against the Lord of creation. And I just don't think we can afford to sit back idly and not think that anything bad is going to happen to us. And even though President Donald J. Trump has an alliance, him anointing, he seems to get through when everything is taking place. But my point has been, it's not to make America great. He's actually, whether he knows it or not, pushing everything to the forefront of end-time Bible prophecy, which is global great tribulation and persecution against the saints of God. But this is necessary in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. So Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, and I believe that Donald Trump has been apprehended to push it forward like nobody else was willing to do. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. In fact, a lot of people don't realize this, but the European Union is the model for the global government. The European Union is like the how would you say the prototype? It's the prototype of the global government. So, and this is why a lot of people don't realize that a European army is also in the works. So they're looking for a centralized government, centralized army, and so what they're doing at the moment. One of the things that's preventing the EU from carrying out its globalist agenda is the national sovereignty, the homogeny. And so to break that down, this is why they're importing the hundreds of thousands of refugees, because you import tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and even millions of these refugees from the third world, that and the vast majority of them are all Muslim. And because they carry a worldview that is anti-Christian, this serves the purpose of the globalists, because the globalists know that what is holding back their agenda is Christianity. And so importing these tens of thousands of Muslims is importing these people who carry an ideology that is the antithesis of Christianity, that wants to destroy Christianity. And but... it's absolutely self-defeating, because they're shooting themselves in the foot. And this is, again, this is where we get the picture of Revelation 17, because the you see this inebriated prostitute riding a beast, completely oblivious to the idea, completely oblivious to the reality that this beast that she's riding on is eventually going to turn on her and is going to kill her. It's going to eat her flesh, bring her to her ruin, and burn her with fire. And this is what is on the agenda. And this is what is so – it just goes to show. And all this can be traced back to the rejection of Christianity and the rejection of objective moral values. Because once upon a time, politicians were basically relied on principles. They were governed by principles. That all of their policies was based on principles. But the moment that – we rejected God and there was no such thing as objective morality, then, well, what do? Well, principles go out the window, so they will do anything for votes, even if it meant that the people were inclined to evil. The politicians would bend over backwards to appease them, even if it meant carrying out evil to get their votes. And this is exactly what's happening on the world stage. The people have rejected God, they've rejected objective morality, and as a result of that, these politicians are appeasing evil. They are appeasing evil. And so they don't care if disaster is on the horizon. They think, well, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, so who cares? If I get the votes and I get into power, that's all that I'm interested in. So they are importing suicide. They are importing disaster upon themselves. And they don't care, because what they want is votes and what they want is power. And it's just incredible that they will import all this and they will chase after these things, even if it means the destruction of their own country.
Well, absolutely. And just a little bit further research, I would encourage people to go into Wikipedia, study other materials on the Holodomor, which is derived from a word to mean to kill by starvation. And that's exactly what happened, going back to the Ukrainian Revolution and this persecution. It was also known as the Terror Famine and Famine Genocide in Ukraine, where the numbers are upward to 7 to 10 million were killed during this man-made starvation, where they were actually printing posters. And this is going all the way back to Stalin now. He wanted to eliminate this independence movement, and they were printing posters saying to eat your own children is, you know, something good for them to do. And it's a huge article. People should look at it. Man is inherently evil in his fallen human nature. Satanic, demonic spirits like the 10,000 demons that inhabited Karl Marx and took over his brain and mind and did the horrible things that were done. That was the tip of the iceberg, Daniel. That was the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
What's coming down the pike is much larger. We've got just a minute left in the broadcast. Your final thoughts today.
Well, what I think I would read out would be a quote by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Now, he wrote the book, The Gulag Archipelago, in which he described the Gulag camps, the slave labor camps in the Soviet Union, in which he was a part of it. But in his reflections upon communism, he says this, which I think is extraordinary. He says this. He says, it was Dostoevsky, once again, who drew from the French Revolution and its seeming hatred of the church the lesson that revolution must necessarily begin with atheism. Interesting. I'll read that again. He drew from the French Revolution and its seeming hatred of the church the lesson that revolution must necessarily begin with atheism. That is absolutely true, he says. But the world had never before known a godlessness as organized, militarized, and tenaciously malevolent as that practiced by Marxism. Within the philosophical system of Marx and Lenin, at the heart of their psychology, hatred of God is the principal driving force, more fundamental than all their political and economic pretensions. Militant atheism is not merely incidental or marginal to communist policy. It is not a side effect, but the central pivot. Isn't that extraordinary?
Well, it absolutely is. And Daniel, first of all, I want to apologize for the technical problems today. You brought some incredible information. I know it has been recorded. It will be viewable and able to listen to in about 15 minutes on Blog Talk Radio, this entire conversation. We'll see how it sounds. We'll get this fixed up for sure by tomorrow. Daniel Seckham, as always, and once again, you have brought thought-provoking commentary to the broadcast. We appreciate you very much. And by the way, if your country runs out of oil and you need a place to stay, consider coming to the United States of America. Shalom.
You can count on it, brother. I'll be in Northwest Arkansas before you know it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure there's a house up there in the Ozark somewhere for me, brother.
Shalom, 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 everybody. I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. We have got to go.